KSTL 690, East St. Louis, St. Louis.
This is Pocket Watching with JT, the call-in financial talk show focused on helping you get your money right. Jason Thornton is a certified financial planner, licensed in both tax and investments. Now, this is not personal financial advice. This is JT's real reaction to all your money and business questions. Are you deep in debt, living paycheck to paycheck, and looking for a way out? Call Pocket Watching with JT, the financial advisor for the people. Need more? Book your personal consultation with my man JT at pocketwatcher.net. Now, let's go pocket watching.
Hey, Pocket Watchers, welcome to Pocket Watching with JT, live on the air here in the city of St. Louis, KSTL Jubilee 690 AM, and also live streaming on YouTube to my over 57,000 subscribers. If you have not subscribed yet, do me a favor, log on to your computer, your phone, your tablet, however you consume YouTube, and type in Pocket Watching with JT. We're this close to 58,000 subscribers. So how about you add one more to the list? So I want to say thank you to all the supporters, all the fans, everyone who gets value out of this program, Pocket Watching with JT. So this is Money Mondays. I am taking on your calls, your personal finance questions, your business questions. Give me a call here at the station. Phone number is 314-969-6900. That's 314-969-6900. And trust me, I will do everything I can to help you reach your financial goals. But here is my warning. Here is something that I have to put my cards on the table up front and let you know what you are going to get and what you are not going to get. There's no shortcuts here. I'm not going to tell you ways of how you can trick the bank into giving you a lot of money. I'm not going to teach you how to fill out forms for credit cards and lie so that you can get $100,000 worth of credit card limits, right? I am going to give you the information that is actually going to help you, not just in the short term, but in the long term. Because far too many people who are looking for financial solutions to their financial problems online, you're way too focused on what's going to help you in the short term. Okay. I am Jason M. Thornton, CFP. Those three letters stand for Certified Financial Planner. I didn't just wake up one day and decide to become some sort of financial guru. I didn't look at the landscape of social media and realize, hey, you can make a whole lot of money telling people what to do with their money by selling a course. I actually went to school for this, people. I graduated from college. I went on to get licensed in two different areas in finance. Then the crowning jewel of my professional achievement has been becoming a certified financial planner. It is the stamp of excellence when it comes to being a financial advisor. I'm not saying this to try to big up my own ego. Trust me, my ego's big enough. My ego is probably at the height of where it can be. I don't need to puff it up anymore. I'm saying this as these are the things that you need to look out for when you hear from or get advertisements from, or you are solicited by people who claim that they can help you with your money problems. All right. You need to understand that we are heading towards a downturn in the economy. Many of you already feel it. Many of you feel it when you go to the gas pump. You feel it when you go to the grocery store. You know that the economy is slowing down. Okay, a recession technically is two or more quarters of the year of negative growth in GDP. GDP, we're talking about gross domestic product. At the end of the day, it's talking about how much is being sold in the U.S. economy domestically, right? two or more quarters. A quarter is 3 months. So we're talking about 6 months. So we are going to see very soon if we have officially a recession. But you don't really care about if the economists in the government officially stamp what's going on right now with your money a recession or not. You actually feel what's going on. Now, here's my warning. This is the thing that I want you to make sure that you focus on. During times of economic hardship, this is an open door for scammers to come into your life. It is an invitation, because now when times are hard, you are going to become more receptive to people who claim they can help you out. And when you become more receptive to people who claim that they can help you out, you start to lower your guard and you will not put them through all of the rigorous vetting that you would when times are doing good. So I need you to just listen and stay with me. I'm going to go to the phone lines, but trust me, we're going to talk about it today. So let me go to the phone lines. You are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you for calling. How can I help you? Hello. Yes, ma'am. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hi, my name is Benita. I have a question regarding home warranties.
Mm-hmm.
Protection plans for major appliances.
Oh, Lord. Yes.
How do you feel about those? Would you advise people to purchase those plans?
I'm not a fan. Let me explain why. I've had several friends who've been in situations with these home warranties, and they sound good, right? They sound extremely good when they're being sold to you, right? Whoever it is that's selling these home warranties, and even we see it also, if you watch TV or online, we see a lot of these warranties, these extended warranties for cars and stuff too. Oh, if your car breaks down, don't worry about it. You know, we'll be able to get it fixed. Same thing with your home appliances. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll fix your hot water heater when it acts up. We'll fix your AC unit. We'll fix this. We'll fix that. But what actually happens when these things break down? You've been paying your monthly payments all this time. I'm telling you, I've had too many clients and too many personal friends reach out to me and say, hey, I had a home warranty, something broke down, and they made me jump through ridiculous hoops to try to get something fixed. I mean, it is just, it's really crazy. It's infuriating when it comes down to what you have to do to get the home warranty company to actually do what they said they were going to do. So personally, I'm not a big fan. And here's why. I'm more of a person that's going to say, I'm going to build up an emergency savings fund, right? I have more like 12 months to 9 months of my monthly bill money saved up. So if something like that happens in my personal household, I just borrow the money for the repair from myself and then get it fixed, and then I pay myself back, right? The payments that you would be making for the home warranty or all that stuff, I'm telling you, at the end of the day, I feel like it's just a distraction from what really needs to happen. So personally, I'm not a fan of them, because far too many times I've heard people who they either never got their appliance fixed because the company was able to point out, oh, this loophole, that loophole, you weren't able to get it. So I'm not a big fan. I'm the person that's going to tell you, save up an emergency savings fund. And when those type of emergencies pop up, pay for it yourself. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. All right, Pocket Watchers, we have another person on the line. Hopefully I can say something that can help you out. So you are live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. Thank you so much for calling in. How can I help you?
How you doing?
Good, good, good. Thanks for calling.
I got a question about my money. I was looking at my 401k the other day,
mm-hmm.
and for the last year, it seemed like it went down 30K.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, that hurts.
Yeah.
You know, my first question is, when I do retire, how do you get, since that wasn't taxed at all, mm-hmm. right? When you take advantage of your 401k, how's that get paid to you?
Great question. Okay, so I want to tackle the first part, and then I'm going to go to the second part. The first mm-hmm. part is you've been looking at your 401k statements over the past year, and you've been noticing, hey, it's going down. Here's my first question to you. How long do you have between today and the day you plan to retire in years? How long do you have?
You know, I watch Lead Attorney, mm-hmm. and I feel comfortable right now, and I don't want to be old and still working hard.
Okay.
So it could be anywhere from the next year to maybe another 15 years.
Oh, well, man, so that's listen, brother, that's a big gap. I'm going to need you to narrow it down a little bit, because based on the way you answer it, I got different replies. But here, you know what? I'm going to do both. I'll do both. Okay. So first, let's take a look at if you had 15 years from now. If it's 15 years from now, my suggestion to you is you maybe should only be looking at your 401k statement, maybe semi-annually, maybe annually. As long as you are invested in, you know, good index funds, things that make sense based on your personal needs and also based on your risk tolerance. And of course, based on what we call your time horizon, meaning how long do you have until you retire? Because the thing about it is, depending on how you are able to select what you're invested in, normally, when it comes to a 401k on the job, the options that they normally give you and the options that they direct you towards are going to be things that are growth orientated, which is good. You want to be invested in things that are growth orientated for the long term. But when you start to get closer and closer to your retirement age, you need to do what we refer to as rebalance your portfolio. You need to get out of things that are more growth orientated and get into things that are more stable. So, like I was saying before, it depends on when you plan on retiring. If you are at the stage where you may retire within the next 12 months, well, listen, brother, you need to get into things that are extremely stable. My suggestion to you, you need to contact a certified financial planner in your area, sit down, have a consultation with them so that they can help you most likely roll over your 401k into an IRA and then rebalance that portfolio so that it is something that is more stable, because you are going to most likely be accessing this money much sooner than the person that has 15 years. The person who has 15, 20 plus years before they start to access this money, look at it once a year. It's not that big of a deal. Just make sure that you're in the things that make sense. So that's part one. Part two, how are you taxed? Well, you're going to be taxed at ordinary income. You are not taxed for income tax when you put the money in, because it sounds like this is a traditional 401k, not a Roth, but a traditional, meaning every dollar that you put into the 401k while you were making money was a tax deduction for you during that year. Now, when you start to withdraw from the 401k, that is going to be looked at as ordinary income to you. Now, you're not going to be taxed as Social Security and Medicare, because you are already taxed on Social Security and Medicare. But as far as income tax purposes, you're going to receive what's referred to as a 1099-R at the end of the year. And that's going to show the total amount of money that you had distributed to you for that tax year from your 401k. This is another reason why you need to contact a certified financial planner who's going to help you understand how much annually should you be withdrawing. Should you be withdrawing 4%, 8%, 6%? It's going to depend on, one, your lifestyle, and two, how much, what your life expectancy is going to be, because you don't want to run out of money before you run out of time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. I mean, I'm going to have a pension also.
Okay.
My job, you know, and, you know, who knows what happens to SSI or whatever.
Right.
The government will do by then, but.
All of those things are different puzzle pieces to your entire retirement picture. And a certified financial planner is going to take into account each one of your different income sources when you retire, and they'll come up with a drawdown, a withdrawal formula for you that's going to meet your short-term and long-term goals in retirement. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
All right. One more question.
Okay.
I have put some money aside to try to buy another home.
Mm-hmm.
I recently refinanced for the first time, and shortened my term, got a better rate than what I originally got it for. So hopefully I should have paid off in like another 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I put like $100K aside to buy another house, but the market here in Boston is kind of,
oh, I'm sure it's ridiculous. Like, I mean, what?
Ridiculous. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. $100,000 is not going to get you as much. I mean, and also, listen, I'm not a big fan of having a mortgage. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of having a mortgage in retirement. You know, I'm more of a person that I'd rather pay off my current home and not have a mortgage in retirement, because you could be 1 year, 15 years. But when you retire, you don't want to have a mortgage. That's my main focus. So you really, you want to make sure you're taking the right steps.
But my house that I have now, I don't even live in the house. I rent it out.
Oh, okay.
So it's paying for itself and putting money in my account every month. So if I were to buy, I literally don't pay any rent or mortgage myself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if I were to buy another house that would be more comfortable for what I want it to be, I could just be paying basically rent now. I live with my girlfriend. You know,
gotcha.
She got an apartment. So I live with her. My house pays for itself. It'll be paid off in 8 years. You know, it double from what I paid for it is double value. So I just don't like my money sitting around in the bank not doing anything.
No, listen, I understand. I understand. But you don't want to be trigger happy. That's what it sounds like. You're being a little trigger happy.
To half price, right?
Yeah.
Crypto was $60K and it went to $30K, and I'm like, wow, I could buy 3 Bitcoins. And I was all excited. And then while I was dragging my feet, it went down to $25K. And I'm like, whoa, I can get 4 now.
Listen, before you go. I understand. I understand. But before you go Bitcoin shopping, right? Have that conversation with a CFP that's going to take a look at your entire financial picture, and they can help you come up with a financial plan that makes the most sense. Yes, I know you got $100,000 in cash sitting over here and you feel like it's not working for you, but you have a short-term purchase that you're looking to make. So that's why we have cash off to the side for the things that we need to do in the short term, because we don't want to have it locked up in an investment. Because as you said, Bitcoin is down. The stock market is down. Your 401k is down. If you then wanted to buy the house and you actually put the money in the Bitcoin, you would not have the available cash to do it. So I understand you're a little trigger happy and you feel like you're not taking advantage of the down market. But until we can take a look at your entire financial picture, I wouldn't be ready to pull that trigger unless you understand what you're missing out on, which we refer to as your opportunity cost. When you do make that transaction, what are you missing out on? So trust me, save yourself a lot of time and headache by paying a couple of $100 and have a consultation with a CFP, okay?
Sounds like a plan. Thank you,
Mike. All right. Thank you so much. All right, people. Hey, y'all calling today and y'all calling early. Thank you so much. Keep it coming. Give me a call, 314-969-6900. We're going back to the phone lines. Thank you for calling. You're live on the air. We're pocket watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hello, JT. I'm calling because I heard, listened to you maybe about a week or two ago, and you mentioned that if we had tax bills, we are to call the IRS. So when we call the IRS, they're not answering the phone.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if we can depend, if we were to go online and sign up for a payment plan, can we depend on them to request the correct bill? And my question, I guess I'm wondering if I'm unsure about what they're requesting, should I have a CPA or somebody look at what they're requesting, and can that be adjusted later?
Okay, great question. Okay, so if you are in a position where you're trying to get in contact with the IRS and you have a bill that you need to pay and you want to set up a payment arrangement, if you can go online and set up that payment arrangement, that's normally the best option. And let me explain why. If you call into the IRS and you request a payment arrangement over the phone, they are going to charge you a fee that is going to be higher than what the fee is if you go online yourself and do it. Now, in order to go online and set up a payment arrangement yourself, you have to create a profile, just like every other website out here nowadays, right? The IRS is going to require that you verify your identity. They're going to be asking you certain questions. They're going to ask you with this new ID Me website. They're going to ask you to submit a picture of your government ID. It feels like it's going to be jumping through a few hoops, but
I've got that.
Okay. Yeah. If you've got that already, yes, I would suggest 100% go online and click the payment tab and click the setup payment arrangement. The system is extremely automated. As long as you owe less than $50,000, the system will allow you to set up your payment arrangement. The payment arrangement is going to be, now you got options, but normally I tell people to do the maximum of the options. So they're going to let you set up a 72-month payment plan as long as you owe less than $50,000. Okay. Now they're going to ask you, even on the website, they're going to ask you how much do you want to pay a month? But normally what I say is put like the lowest dollar amount that you can, and the system will tell you, no, this is the lowest we will accept. So if you put like, I want to pay $5 a month, the system will, when you click next, the system will pop up and in red letters, it's basically going to say, sorry, but the lowest amount that we'll accept is $55. That way you can know what's the lowest amount that they will accept. You can always pay them more, but especially if we're in a situation where, you know, we're headed into a recession. Many people say we're in a recession right now. You don't want to lock yourself in to a higher payment than you need, because you can always pay them more. And if you elect to have them do direct debit, if you elect to do direct debit out of a bank account, I believe the filing fee and the processing fee is less than $50. If you make the payments manually, it's more around like $100. And if you call up the IRS, you may be paying almost $200. This doesn't go towards your balance. This is the application fee that they charge you. It's like almost $200 if you call. So if you've got your online profile with the IRS already set up, I would say go ahead and do it through that. I don't believe that you're going to need the assistance of an accountant, a CFP or a CPA or even an attorney. It's pretty simple. But if you have questions, then okay, there's something else. But they're not going to ask you for a lot of information. If you already have your profile set up and you owe less than $50,000, there's not a lot of information they're going to ask other than how much do you want to pay a month and what day of the month are you going to be making these payments? It has to be between the first of the month and the 28th, because of February, they won't let you do the 30th or something like that. It has to be the first between the 28th. If everything goes good, you click submit, everything will go through. You'll get a letter in the mail eventually saying that your payment arrangement was approved. And if you do the direct debit, it's really going to be on auto pay. So you should be good to go.
Good. Just one more question. Mm-hmm. Just a statement. In your introduction, you mentioned GDP. Is that the same as GNP?
No. So it's the gross domestic product is the products and services that actually happens within the borders of the United States. Now, I'm reeling way back to my first econ class, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. So GDP is gross domestic product. So those are the goods and services that we actually produce here in the United States. Gross national product includes companies that are U.S.-based companies, but they're not within the borders of the United States. So they're calculated a little different.
Gotcha. All right. Well, thank you.
But you can Google and double check me on that, because I'm going off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure I'm right.
I'll Google it.
Okay. Thank you so much for calling in.
Uh-huh.
All right. All right, people. Hey, I love it. I love it when y'all call me early on these Money Mondays, because that's what I want. Give me a call, 314-969-6900. That's 314-969-6900. I want to get back to my opening statements about what you're going to see as this economy gets worse and worse. We see it every time, right? It's not a new thing. It comes in cycles. All of these scammers and the grifters are going to pop up out of nowhere, and they're going to be telling people, I've got the solution to your problem. I can set up a trust. I can get you this. I can get you that. I can figure out a way to get all your debts removed. All you got to do is fill out this form and write it in red ink and put it, your thumbprint in the corner of the page. Now, I know to some of you, I sound crazy. Like, who would ever believe that if you owe $80,000 worth of debt, that there's a government form that you can fill out? And as long as you fill it out with red ink and you put your thumbprint in the corner of the page, then the government will actually pay off all your debts. That sounds insane. That sounds like a crazy person talking, right? I'm telling you, this is an old scam that people have been doing for decades, and it only pops back up in popularity when the economy is going crazy, because once again, when there's problems in your life, you start to become more susceptible, more open to hear solutions, no matter what the source of the solution is coming from. So there's going to be people who would be lumped into what we refer to as the sovereign citizen movement that are going to tell you, oh, well, the government's a scam. The government went bankrupt back in 1933 and all of this. They'll tell you there's a straw man. Your Social Security number is actually your bond number that's traded on the stock exchange. They'll say all of this stuff. Now, it sounds like lunacy, but let you lose your job and be out of work for 99 weeks. All of a sudden, this stuff will sound a little bit more attractive to you. Right? What happens when you start to receive foreclosure letters from your mortgage company? What happens when the sheriff starts knocking on your door? All of a sudden, then you become more open to this type of crazy stuff. I want to warn you now before you get to that point. But let's go to the phone lines. Thank you for calling. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you? I hear you keying in. You can talk to me right now, live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. What's going on?
Hi.
Yes, ma'am. I can hear you. Sound a little far away from the phone. You might want to get a little closer to the phone, but I can hear you. How can I help?
Okay. So I was calling because I recently looked at my Social Security benefit, right? Mm-hmm. When I retired. And I've been self-employed since I was 19 years old.
Oh, wow. Impressive.
Yeah, so yeah, a long time, and I'm 41 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have the Roth IRA in place.
Mm-hmm.
I have not been maxing out, and I'm just trying to see, is this a good time to go ahead and still max out, you know, to kind of reach where I want my retirement goal to be, or should I just kind of continue my contributions? Because I know I haven't been contributing enough. And okay. Then when I look at my statement,
mm-hmm.
what I'll be getting is my benefits, that's not nearly the amount that I can live off
of. Okay. But I got a couple of follow-up questions before we get to the main question. Okay. I think I may know why your Social Security statement seems a bit low. Okay. You have been self-employed since you were 19.
Yes.
In the times that you've been self-employed, I'm assuming, you know, you probably work with an accountant or a tax preparer who has helped prepare your tax returns that would be in a position where you end up paying the least amount of tax as possible. Am I correct?
Correct.
All right. So in preparing a tax return when you're self-employed, so that you pay as least amount as possible, what you're doing in effect, you're lowering what it looks like you actually made in your business. Now, I know I'm not saying that your deductions that you put on there were illegitimate. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is there are ways to reduce your taxable income when you're self-employed. That is great. But for everything in life, there's always two sides for the most part. I'm speaking generally, but there's always two sides of the coin. And when you sit down with that tax preparer, with that accountant, their focus is I'm going to try to help my client pay the least amount of taxes possible, which is good. what they're not thinking about and that what they don't learn, you know, because they're not financial planners. They're not people who think about the other side of it. What they're not also realizing is when they lower your taxable income by helping you pay the least amount of taxes possible, it also shows to the Social Security Administration that you ain't make that much money. And because you did not make that much money, the amount of money that you're going to receive as Social Security benefits reflects how much money you made during your lifetime. So that's the double-edged sword. Yes, you've been paying less in tax this whole time since you're 19 all the way to now because you took advantage of the tax code. That's great. The other side is Social Security is going to reflect that. So what we need to do to make up a difference is all the money that you're saving in tax because you're, you know, paying the least amount possible legally, right? Legally, you're paying the least amount legally. Yeah. The difference is what you need to be investing, right? All the money that your tax preparer has been helping you save in tax all these years should be placed in some sort of tax advantage or Roth account so that you can make up that difference. So if you're calling up and you're asking me, should you be maxing out? Well, if you have an emergency savings fund, if you're paying down debt and you're comfortably in a position where you should be maxing out your retirement, absolutely you should be maxing out your retirement. Here's another thing, because you're self-employed. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Even in this market right now.
Even in this market, sister, especially in this market. Because think about it, you're buying on sale, right? Listen, what's your favorite pair of shoes? What's your favorite pair of shoes?
I'm not going to say.
Just give me an idea. What's your favorite pair of shoes?
For comfortability, my favorite pair of shoes are Yeezys right now.
Okay, all right, Yeezys. Now, how much are Yeezys right now? Just generally, how much does a pair of Yeezys cost?
They're about $280.
About $280. Now, would you be more excited to buy them if they cost $500?
Dude.
Right. Would you be more excited to buy them if they cost $75?
$75.
That's what's going on right now in the market. Market is down. So when you say, should I buy in this climate, in this market? Heck yeah, you should buy in this market because it's down.
That's true. And I'm just keeping it, looking at my Roth like it's steady declining, like, you know, but.
Stop looking at it. You don't plan on retiring based on the age that you told me you were. You don't plan on retiring for another, 25 years, right?
Yeah, about 25 years. Yeah.
Sister, it doesn't, I don't care what the market, I am a long-term investor. I'm not a speculator, right? Okay. I'm a financial advisor who gives advice based on how are you going to achieve in the long term, not tomorrow, right? So I don't care what the market does in the next 3 or 5 years. It means absolutely nothing to me because the money you're talking about, you're not going to use for another 25 years. I can tell you this. Nobody on this earth can tell you what the market is going to look like in 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. Nobody.
Okay.
But I can tell you this. I can guarantee you, as long as the United States government exists, the market in 25 years is going to be better than it is today. I bet my life on it. I'm literally betting my entire net worth on the fact that in 25 years from now, the market will be better than it is right now.
Okay.
And I think you should do the same. Yeah. So my suggestion to you, yes, you need to go ahead and max out that Roth because you're self-employed. I don't understand why you don't create your own retirement plan with your company, a SEP IRA or a solo 401k. Because right now, I'm sorry, say it again.
No, I'm saying I'm listening to you.
Okay. Because with that Roth IRA, you're under 50. So that means maxing out for you is $6,000. Okay. That's maxing out for you. But if you were to set up a SEP IRA or a solo 401k, you could potentially, depending on how much money your business makes, you could potentially put over $60,000 in that retirement account a year. So you need to take advantage of the fact that you're self-employed, talk with a certified financial planner in your area and ask them, what are your options of creating a retirement plan through your business that will help you accelerate your retirement savings?
I think I just need to book a consultation with you. I'm actually in St. Louis.
Oh, of course. Give me a call. You can call up the office, 314-776-9076. You can go to my website, ThorntonAdvisor.com or PocketWatcher.net. Any one of those can get you towards the consultation. But yeah, we can figure out a way to get you more comfortably towards what your retirement goals are. But if you listen to the show, you know me. I'm going to ask you, are you on living on a budget? I'm going to ask you about your debt, right? Those two things we have to tackle first before we enter into the realm of investing, because we don't want to be stuck in a position where we're hustling backwards, where debt is growing at a higher pace than your investment. Yeah, we can't do that. We can't do that. Okay.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you so much for calling up. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Listen, I love those type of calls because those are real people in real situations that we can really take a look at. Okay, what do we need to do to achieve financial freedom? Financial freedom, listen, people, financial freedom is not fairy tale land. Far too many people online, wherever, they sell financial freedom and generational wealth as if it's this magic pill that you take and all of a sudden all the problems in your life goes away. That is incorrect. I want to explain to you guys what financial freedom really is and what it's not. Most of the people that you look at as your celebrities, your athletes, your entertainers, your business moguls, the people who you pretend to be online, right? The multimillionaires who you think they have the most perfect life. Let me explain something to you. Their lives are not perfect. They have the same or very similar issues that you have. The difference between them and you is that they have more toys to play with in their depression than you do. Right? Maybe you go home in your debt depression and you play Xbox or PlayStation, or you go online and look through Instagram and they go into a theater room. Right? But there's many people who are so-called multimillionaires and they still live paycheck to paycheck. Financial freedom is not a dollar amount in my mind. It's not a dollar amount. Because there are people who make millions of dollars a year, but they also spend millions of dollars a year. And they're in the same, they're on the same hamster wheel that you're on. Once again, the main difference is the toys that they play with, but they're still on the hamster wheel. Real financial freedom comes from no longer being a slave to debt, having a cushion between the amount of money that you actually need to spend a month and the amount of money that you make, and having to the ability to go out and live life not stressed out about your money issues. Now, will you still have relationship issues? Most likely. You probably will still from time to time have an argument with your wife or your husband or your boyfriend, even if you're financially fit, right? It's like the... It's like the imaginary world that people who are out of shape believe that people who are fit live in, right? Let me give you a picture of the imaginary world that people who are out of shape think that fit people live in. When you're out of shape, you think all the problems that you have in your life would be solved if you lost weight, if you had a six pack, if you had big biceps. All the girls would be hanging all over you. All the guys would be all over you. But that's not really how it works, at least for guys. Girls, a little different story, but for guys, right? Guys think, oh, man, the second I get into my perfect beach body, all my problems go away. That's not the case. Yes, you will be healthier. Yes, you will look much better in your clothes. Yes, maybe most likely if you approach someone that you like, you might have a higher probability of being able to take them out on a date. Maybe. Sometimes it's not always the case because certain girls have certain types. And even though you look like The Rock, you might not be their type. It happens. Trust me. I've seen it and witnessed it. But you hanging on and believing that this one thing is going to solve all your problems, it won't. Getting physically in shape is going to solve your physical in shape problems. There's still going to be other stuff. and even getting financially in shape, that's going to help affect other things, but it's not going to solve all the problems that you have in the world. And that's why it's only a piece of your life that's connected to other pieces. So yeah, you get your money in order, then you probably will have more time to spend with your loved ones, and you can build more meaningful relationships, and you're not all stressed out, right? If you're stressed out about your money issues and the kids break something in the house, now not only do you have to clean up the mess, you also have to buy a replacement to the thing that was broke. That just compounds the anger. That compounds the issues that you're having, and it just makes you blow up. But let's rewind a little bit. What if you didn't have money issues that have you all stressed out? You're probably still going to be upset that the kids broke the lamp, but you're probably not going to jump out into this crazy fit and this crazy rage that is beyond the point of what the event actually requires. So just pump your brakes a little bit when people talk about how money will solve all your problems. It won't. It will help. It will absolutely help, but it won't solve all your problems. You need to really, while you're working on your money issues, you should also work on your other issues together as a team. Hopefully that makes sense. That doesn't go over anybody's heads. But let me go to a couple of questions. You guys have been going to my website, pocketwatcher.net. You've been clicking the Ask JT. Now, remember, we've got a couple options to get me questions. The number one option, of course, I want you to call me. Call me up. That's the number one thing that I love, because I love the interaction with you guys. But there's a couple other options where you can get me questions. You can go to pocketwatcher.net. You can click the Ask JT email question. You can click Ask JT voicemail. You click that button, you can leave me a voicemail, or you can click the Ask JT video question. You have 5 minutes. Let's not stretch it out too long, people. You got 5 minutes to go on video and ask me a question. I'll play the question and I'll do the best I can to give you answers. So there's three ways that you can give me a question. Right now, I'm going to go over the email questions, and I got a question from Dale. Dale is asking me, can you explain the difference between business credit and a business loan? Is there any resources to obtain business credit without a social security number? All right, Dale. So here we go. Business credit is going to be the relationship that you have with either other vendors, meaning businesses that you do business with, or credit card companies, or a bank, meaning you created some sort of relationship that will allow you to either buy something, obviously without cash. They're going to lend you the money to buy whatever the product or services that you need to operate your business, and you're going to pay them on some sort of payment arrangement with interest, right? That's what, in general, business credit's going to be. Business loan is the finished product of that. That's the amount of money that they gave you. That's the business loan. They are giving you a loan to obtain some sort of product or service that's going to help you further the growth of your business. Now, any resources to obtain business credit without a social security number? Well, yes, but here's the issue. The fact that you're asking me this question leads me to believe that your business is somewhat new, right? If you're starting a brand new business, for you to be able to get a business loan or credit without giving a personal guarantee is slim to none. Slim to none. One of the biggest problems is when people want to borrow money, they only think from the point of view of the person who needs money. You never think of it from the point of view of the actual person who you are borrowing money from. So if you just take a second and pause and turn around and get on the other side of the table, why would you let someone borrow money who has absolutely no financial history? I'm talking about new businesses. Why would I let a new business with no financial history, no proof that they can pay me back, why would I lend them money? That would be dumb on my part. So in order for me to let this loan go through, I'm going to look for someone to co-sign, someone to guarantee this loan, someone that's going to step up when this business, which most businesses fail, understand that, most businesses fail, Who's going to step up and actually pay me my money back if this business fails? Based on the stats, it most likely will. You got to have a personal guarantee. And if you do not have the credit to be able to personal guarantee the business loan, then you got some more work that needs to be done. Maybe you need to grind and get this business up and running and cash flow this business so that it gets to the point where you build up enough credibility so that lending institutions would lend you money, because they are a business, a credit card company, a bank. These are businesses that are in it to make a profit. They don't make a profit if you don't pay them their money back. So just think of it on that side. It looks like Dale's been busy. Dale's got two questions. So here's Dale's other question. Dale is asking me, a lot of financial people on the internet are putting projected income on their credit card applications. Do you know the legality of this? I got an idea of this. So if a credit card application is requesting what your annual income is, and you put some sort of projected income on it. So let's say you are self-employed, right? Let's say you're self-employed and you put down that your projected income is $250,000. Okay. My question to you is, by what means did you make that projection? Are you making that projection based on wishing on a star? Because if we look at your history, it seems as if you make annually $60,000 a year. So if you made $60,000 a year for the past 3 to 5 years, why is it on this application your projected income is magically $250,000? What makes that difference? See, so I really want to get to the core of what your question is. Because when people are saying they're putting their projected income down, they're putting a magical number that they will know that they will never, ever, ever, ever meet, just so that they can say, well, because I'm self-employed, I don't have a fixed amount of income. So when I put on the credit card application, I put 250 because that's realistic. When we all know that's not realistic. It's not realistic. You've been making $50,000 for the past couple of years. Now, all of a sudden, when you fill out this credit card application, we're to believe that you're going to make $250,000. Anytime you put down on a legal document or any type of application for credit or loan, you put down false information. And I don't care if you call it your projected income. This is my projected income. Yeah. Based on what? Based on what numbers are you projecting this income? Because you're not basing it on your past tax returns, clearly, right? So, yeah, I don't believe that it is, one, ethical. Let's start there, right? I'm not the biggest fan of saying if something is legal or not. Before I ask the question, is it ethical or not? First, ask yourself, is it ethical? If the answer is no, we don't even have to go any further. If the answer is no, this is not ethical, don't worry about if it's legal or not, because I want to stick with it being ethical. But no, I don't believe that it's legal. I haven't read too many credit card applications where it requests your projected income. I've seen very many times where it asks you for your income, your annual income. And if there's somebody, and I know there are trust me, you send me these clips all the time. I know there's many big time internet credit gurus out here who are telling you ways to finesse the system and how you can get these high credit card limits by putting this down on the application or putting that down on the application. These guys have a scammer heart. I'm not speaking to their character as far as who they are as a husband or as a father or as a Boy Scout leader. I'm talking about as a financial so-called expert, they have a scammer heart, because anybody who has any type of ethical standards, they will never tell you to put down a higher number of your income that is actual and factual on a credit card application. So do I think it's illegal? Yeah, I believe based on what I've seen, it is very illegal, Dale, and I would not engage in that. I would simply operate a business and make it as successful as possible, build up a relationship with a bank that sees that my business is profitable, and whoops, what would happen? They would probably lend me money based on the fact that I have a profitable business. The issue is you guys are trying to put the cart before the horse. You want to go out and get all this business credit when there is no business. There's no business yet. Well, how do I get a business unless I get funding for my business? Have you ever heard of saving up money for your business? Have you ever heard of sacrificing and believing in your own business plan enough to build up enough money to drive for Uber, DoorDash, or whatever it takes to build up enough real money to fund your business? Well, I don't want to do that. I want to do it on other people's money. I want to get rich on other people's money. Well, good luck with that. Y'all been trying to do that for the past 10 to 8 years. You haven't done it yet. So good luck with that. How about you try it my way and see what happens? Give that a shot. Okay, here we go. I got a couple more questions already here. We don't have much time left. Got like less than 10 minutes here. So if you do want to call in, you better call in now. 314-969-6900. That's 314-969-6900. Got less than 10 minutes left on this broadcast, so you better call now. But let me go to some more email questions here. I got a question from, let me see here. There's a few here that I want to get to. Some of these are a little longer. I think I got a question from, okay, I got a caller. Let me go to the call. Caller's got first priority. Thank you for calling. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hey, JT, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Hey, brother, I appreciate you taking my phone call, brother. I'm a big fan of yours, brother. I just started listening to you maybe, I don't know, 3-4 months ago, and the first video I seen on YouTube, you were kind of roasting, Taylor Jacobs and Ben X.
Let me be clear, people. I don't know these people personally. Right. I'm not making any judgment call on these people personally. The two individuals that he's talking about, the roasting came in the point of they have these honorary doctorate degrees from schools that don't really exist. These are what we would refer to as diploma mills. You pay a little money and they give you a degree. These schools are not accredited. So me as a certified financial planner, in order for me to get my credentials, I first have to graduate from an accredited college or university. Then I have to go to the CFP board and then they have to approve that I did receive an education in financial planning. Then I have to pass the CFP exam. Then I have to commit myself to the ethical standards. If I went to one of these schools that these guys are getting these honorary doctorate degrees from, I couldn't do what I'm doing. But let's get to it, brother. Thank you for being a supporter. What's your question? I got another caller right behind you. So what's your question?
You know, yes, sir. I appreciate that background too, brother. Uh-huh. And you know, when I kind of called these two brothers out a couple of years ago, everybody was looking at me crazy because I was like, hey, look, it was based upon, you know, the whole life insurance versus the term insurance.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
Question. Right.
Yes.
And, you know, now, so two things though, brother, I just got a little bit of pushback because you know, I think you believe in term life insurance, or at least you think that's the better option than the whole life insurance, right?
In most situations, so, yes.
Yes, sir. And so I was just wondering, I looked at one of your videos, on the multi-level marketing. And so let me just give you a heads up. I'm from Primerica, right?
Okay.
And so I know that there was a gentleman who called in who, you know, you kind of agree with that he went through Primerica. And you called it, you know, basically, I don't necessarily say you said it was a scam, but this is my question is, brother, when it comes to term life insurance, if Primerica isn't the option, for term life insurance for the everyday person, where should they go to get that term life insurance, brother?
I mean, nowadays with the internet, you can find internet brokers who can find you a really good deal on some term life insurance that is not beholden to one particular company. You can find different rates for a bunch of different insurance companies at a very affordable rate. Now, once again, Primerica, I've never had any personal experience with it. My main thing is I'm not a fan of the multi-level marketing aspect of any business. I don't care what the business, you can have a good product, good service, but when you have multi-level marketing kind of mixed in with that, it becomes messy. That's my main point. But I got to get to a caller behind you. Thank you for supporting. Please call back any other time. Call back early in the hour so we can have a little bit more time, okay?
All right, brother. Yes, sir, brother.
Thank you so much. All right, so the last caller of the day, thank you for calling. You're live on the air with Pocket Watching with JT. How can I help you?
Hey, Hey, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, we have very, very little time, so please hit me with your question awesome. As fast as possible.
Awesome. Real quick question.
Sure.
So I'm getting ready to go back to school. I'm getting a degree in accounting, and I'm just wondering, you know, do you think that is a kind of like worthwhile venture? To get that CPA and get that accounting degree. Apologies for my animal.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're going to go the route of, you know, getting your accounting degree and then going forward and getting your CPA designation, the only thing I would say is, obviously, to get the CPA, for those of you who are unaware, you have to do more than get your bachelor's degree. You need a full 150 credit hours. Now, many people are going to try to push you into getting a master's degree to get the extra 25 plus hours you're going to need beyond your bachelor's degree. I don't think that's the only route that you need to go. You need to also consider going to a JUCO, going to a junior college or a community college to get those extra credit hours. You don't have to get the master's degree. It will save you a lot of money. Unless you happen to graduate, then go to a firm that is willing to pay for the master's degree and also pay for the CPA education and review to get the CPA designation. But as far as it being something that's going to make you money and it's a good industry, 100%, I support it. Go to it. But understand, you know, to be able to leverage it as much as possible, you're going to be going into tax or audit. Right. If you're just doing general right. bookkeeping, you know, you're going to be competing with so-called exactly. financial experts online. So make sure that you're leveraging the fact that you have a license in something. OK.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling up. Listen, people, my time is up. Thank you so much for participating in this Money Monday. If you want to reach out to me, go to my website, pocketwatcher.net, or you can go to my firm's website, which is ThorntonAdvisor.com. Thank you guys so much. I will catch you later this week on YouTube. If you have not subscribed already, what are you doing? Click the red button. Subscribe to Pocket Watching with JT on YouTube. We're this close to 58,000 subscribers. Be a part of this Get Out of Debt movement. Thank you so much. Y'all have a great rest of your day. I'm out. Thank you.